You know, most of us go through life, and for the most part, life is good. I mean, all is well. Our families, our friends, our health, you know, mostly good. You know, some things here or there, but mostly good. After all, we live in an age where doctors can do far more and far more easily than doctors could do a generation ago or years ago. And we live in a country where even people in the most desperate of situations, more often than not, have access to all the essential needs for life. And most of us have health and resources and freedom and community and food and shelter and about everything you can think of to live a reasonably happy life. I love that. At the same time, each of us will also, at some point or another in life, we will bottom out. Something will happen. And oftentimes it's a series of somethings that happen all at once, a perfect storm of problems that come to us all at once. For example, I know a woman who lost her husband, her son, and her brother. They've all died within months of each other. Her grief was just everything you can imagine. It was just so substantial. My former church had a car repair ministry, much like our bicycle ministry that we have here in this church. And we often met people who were one water pump away from a downward spiral that led to homelessness and government assistance. The water pump goes out in the car doesn't work anymore, they can't get to work easily or can't get to work on time, they end up getting fired, they lose income, they lose their home, and we were trying to stand in that gap and do what we could to stop all that from happening. But even if it's not that kind of spiraling series of events here, we're all, at some point or another, are going to face a trial. We're going to face a difficulty in life. You might be in one right now. I hope you're not. But you might be in a trial or a difficulty in your life right now. There will be times when life is just hard. In those moments, Jesus says something important to you and to me. He says that when life is hard, come to me. I promise you, I will give you rest in your soul. And that's what today is all about in this series that we began last week. We are connecting with Jesus in this series. The last series that we did was from the New Testament letter to Titus, and it was about laying the foundations of truth and elder leadership and doctrine and good works and all these things in the church. But now we turn directly towards Jesus himself. This is about being with Jesus. Many people know about Jesus while rarely slowing down enough to be with him. And so in this series, we are pumping the brakes. We are slowing down to think about what it would look like to be with Jesus. And as we do that today, we find that Jesus offers those with him rest. To the weary, to the burdened people, we find rest. Now that language comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the story of Jesus told by the follower of Jesus named Matthew. And in Matthew chapter 11, where this story is found, comes at a turning point in Jesus' ministry. If you read all this beforehand, you see that questions are beginning to grow about Jesus. Opposition is beginning to grow about Jesus. Even John the Baptist, who knows Jesus and is related to Jesus, is struggling with doubt. And in the middle of all this, all that tension, Jesus speaks one of the gentlest invitations in all of Scripture. Here's the passage. This is Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Jesus invited the weary and the burdened. It's interesting, weary and the burdened. Why two words to say what sounds like the same things? Why two words? Well, there's two words for a reason. The sense of the first word, weary, it describes people who are tired from their work. They are exhausted from daily works, whatever the daily works are, the constant hard work from the toil, from the struggle. That's the first word. But the second word, burdened, refers to people who are carrying a heavy load. It is a state of being. The image here is of an animal on a farm, you know, like a beast of burden, like an ox. But imagine an ox just with a huge load placed on that animal day in and day out. So weary from constant weight of carrying the struggles and of daily, day-to-day work, and then burdened by being overloaded, beat down by that burden. And Jesus says, if that's you, if that's you, come to me. Now, I hope it's not you, but at some point, it will be. At some point, there will be a health crisis or a time when a loved one dies or a financial crisis or when the marriage fails. Countless possibilities of what this could look like, but there's one message. Jesus says, when your soul feels battered, come to me and you will find rest for your soul. He also said, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you. It's an odd phrase. We don't use it this way because, again, farm animal imagery comes to our mind. When I think of a yoke, I think of that neck collar that goes around the two oxen or the horses that are out in the field hauling a wagon or plowing fields. Well, in this passage, that language is symbolic. The yoke of a rabbi is the teaching of the rabbi. And so for a student or a disciple, to take up the yoke of the rabbi is to take on that rabbi's teaching. And when Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, he wants the weary and the burdened people to know that when we follow him, we take on his teaching. And we don't take on a heavy load. It's not heavy loads. There were a lot of leaders, the religious leaders, the Pharisees of the day, many of them piled up rule upon rule upon rule until faith itself became exhausting. Jesus came offering something entirely different. He wasn't adding another crushing weight on the people. He was inviting people into life with him. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Isn't that a great line? This is a self-revelation. Here's what you need to know about me. I am gentle. I'm humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The yoke of Jesus is easy. It is good. It is comfortable. The burden is light. It is not a heavy load. And so today, if you forget everything else in this worship service, everything else that I'm saying, don't forget this. My main point, and the point of this passage is, it is in the heart of God to comfort the weary. It is in the heart of God to comfort the weary and the burden. That's why Jesus doesn't just diagnose your weariness or your burdens. He invites you to himself. He says, come to me because I want to give you something. I want to give you rest for your souls. In Isaiah 40, in the Old Testament, God spoke to a people whose strength was failing. He reminded them that the God that they were turning to was not worn out like they were in their national crisis they were dealing with. He told them that he would not grow tired. God would not grow tired. God would not grow weary. And then he made it very personal at the end. Listen for that, because this is what he says in Isaiah 40, verses 28 through 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Isaiah is telling us still, God isn't distant from your fatigue or your burdens or your weariness. God is the one who meets us there and gives us renewal of strength for us. He gives us the rest that Jesus talked about. And here's what that rest looks like. That rest is not the absence of trouble, but it is the presence of God's comfort carried into the human heart. And it has impact on our lives. In the book, the brothers Karamazov, the Alyosha Karamazov, is a young man who was shaped by a spiritual elder named Father Zosima. And Zosima's life isn't remembered as one of clever arguments. His life is remembered as a kind of steady compassion, the way he stayed close to people who were hurting. Well, after Zosima dies, Alyosha could have been cynical. He could have hardened in that moment, but instead he moves towards people, just like Zosima did. He moves towards people who were carrying heavy burdens. He finds grief and temptation and bitterness and moral confusion and the kind of suffering that makes people wonder whether there is any hope left. And he never pretends that those burdens weren't real. He simply stays near and he listens and he offers kindness and he quietly points people towards mercy. Why did he do that? Because that's what people who have been with Jesus begin to look like. They don't always have the answers. They don't make suffering disappear. But having first received Christ's comfort, they begin carrying that same comfort into the lives of other people. That's what Jesus is inviting us into. Come to me, and you will find rest for your souls. It's not simply so your own burdens become lighter, but so that your life begins reflecting the gentle and the humble heart of Christ, so that others will see it as well. He's offering a whole new center for the soul. And that new center for the soul will be in you, but it will also begin to spill out of you and into the lives of other people as well. So this is, it's just this holistic approach to all this. And when he says, come to me, he's saying to you and to me and to others, bring your heaviness into my hands. You don't have to carry it alone. I will meet you there, and I will give you strength for the weary and power for the weak. And so when you feel the weight pressing down, when you're tired in the mind, tired in the conscience, tired in the heart, tired in the body, see what Jesus is doing. He comes to the burdened. And the rest that he gives doesn't always remove the burden, but it changes what the burden is doing to you. It turns despair into hope. It turns isolation into nearness and heaviness into something that you can bear because you've been met by the God who comforts. What does it mean? Like, what does it mean to come to Jesus like this? Well, it means bringing your whole self to him exactly like you are right now. It means telling him the truth instead of pretending that everything's fine. It means opening the scriptures and listening for his voice. It means praying honestly, even if all you can say is, Lord, I don't know what to do. It means worshiping when you have the strength and simply resting in his promises when you don't have the strength. Coming to Jesus is not complicated. It's simply turning towards him when we are weary and when we are burdened. Now, before we finish, I'd like to do something a little bit different right now. Right where you are today, whatever is going on in your life, the invitation of Jesus remains the same. Come to me. And so instead of ending with some more words about Jesus, I want to spend a few moments coming to him together in prayer. So don't click this off now. I want you to join me in this. I want to give this some space. I want us to be able to pray for a number of things together. And so I invite you now to pray with me. Let's pray. Gracious Father, your Son has invited the weary and the burdened to come to him. And so we do. Together, we come to Jesus. Lord, we pray for those whose bodies are weary from illness, from chronic pain, or treatments that seemed never ending. Lord, we pray for those who are carrying grief, the death of someone they love, a broken relationship, or a loneliness that feels impossible to explain. We pray for those weighed down by anxiety, depression, fear, or discouragement. Those who wake up in the night unable to quiet their minds. We pray for those burdened by financial strain, families wondering how the bills will be paid, workers searching for employment, those carrying responsibilities that seem greater than their strength. We pray for those whose marriages are struggling, for parents carrying heavy concerns for their children, for children worried about aging parents, and for families marked by conflict. We pray for those carrying burdens that no one knows about, hidden guilt, secret shame, old wounds, deep disappointments, questions they're almost afraid to bring before even you. We pray for those who care for others every day, physicians and nurses, counselors, first responders, teachers, pastors, caregivers, and faithful friends, those who spend themselves for the sake of others and quietly grow weary. Finally, Lord, in this quiet moment, we each bring before you in silence the burden that we have carried into this day and into this moment. Hear us as we pray in silence. Lord Jesus, we hear your invitation. We come to you. Teach us to trust your gentle and humble heart. Give strength to the weary. Renew the weak. Lift our eyes to the everlasting God who never grows tired or weary. And by your Holy Spirit, grant us the deep rest that only you can give. And we ask all of these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.